Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe that today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be part of. We hope to see you this Sunday morning here at City Life.
Anyways, we've been on a series, Epiphany. And I've really been enjoying this series. I hope you guys have been as well. And, we've talked about Jesus the Son, Jesus the King or Lord. And today I get to talk to you about Jesus the Savior. And I'm very excited about it. But we've got to talk about a couple things first before, as I lay it out for you. When we think of, like, Jesus the Savior, most people, whether they're a Christian or not, are like, yeah, like, I can understand, like, Savior, Jesus, I've heard those terms together, and like it's not like a big surprising type of like revelation. It's not like, whoa, this big epiphany. I don't know if you've seen, I'm a hockey fan, and like, have you seen the Jesus Saves t-shirt? It's like a goaltender who's just like literally just like big glove save like this. It says Jesus Saves. Okay, anyways. I think it's kind of awesome. Apparently you guys don't. And that's okay. Each to their own. But I think sometimes you think, yeah, Jesus, the Savior, cool, that's great. But, like, my life doesn't need too much saving. I'm doing pretty well for myself. But let me paint a picture for you. This is what saving means. Imagine you're a rock climber, and you're just going up and up, like in the mountains. I'm not talking just in a climbing gym, which is awesome as well. But some of those extreme guys, I don't know if you've seen where they go up, like a couple hundred feet, and they've got it's anchored in, like they've drilled the things in where you can put an anchor, there you go, where you can put a carabiner on and you can climb up. And imagine you're climbing, you're almost at the top, and then you want to clip in on one and you just missed it, and you lean back and you start to fall, and it went boom 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 boom, snap 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 snap, and you got to the last one, and this is over like 1,000 foot, like just drop to your death. And you get to the last one, it goes poof, and it hits and it bends, and you can see it's like not broken, but it's breaking. At that point in time, you can't do any saving. You can't be like, hey, I'm just going to get myself out of the situation. It doesn't work that way. You are either going to die or you need someone to save you. And so that's one idea when it comes to saving. Like, there's nothing that you can do on your own. You're at the mercy of someone else or something else to save you. There's also a saving that involves life. So, for example, you could be imprisoned, and you could be in prison, and you're there. You cannot get out, and you need saving. You're alive, but you're not living even close to your full potential. And so this is just a bit of a backdrop, just so we understand what saving really is. And I wanna actually highlight Romans. Here we go. Romans 3, 23 and 24. It says, for everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
That is all of us. Everyone. Yes, there we go. Well, Edmonton team is informing me that things are happening. What a great service. It's great. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short. Not most of us. It says we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace. What a beautiful five words in the Bible. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. I think that's pretty awesome. But yet we're still balancing this North American filter that we have, these lenses that we have of what is real saving. And I think sometimes we use the term help or helper and replace saving with helper. Jesus is my helper. When I really am in a bind, Jesus, would you help me? And oftentimes I think we can live life that way. And so imagine this. Here you are, you're climbing on that rope again, and you just down to the floor. Okay, you're down. You're down for the count, and you're just hanging. You're seeing that, and all of a sudden you're like, if you call out, save me, and someone comes to save you, and all of a sudden they come along, and they're like, And you're like, no, no, but don't say me like that. No, 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 no. And then someone else comes along, say, and you're saving me. Oh, no, but I don't want to be saved this way either. I think that's kind of our nature sometimes. We're like saying, God, save me. No, no, but not that way. And I think we have to understand that we all need saving and that we live in such a prosperous country and place in the world, but yet, and we have all these comforts, and yet we need saving from ourselves. We need saving from sin, which the Bible says here in Romans. And so, you know, we've tried our own way. I've been reading through the Old Testament. I don't know. I tried this thing, and I was encouraged to do it. It's called the 30-Day Shred, but it is a Bible reading program. And so the goal with reading the Bible in 30 days is, well, first of all, I listen to it on double speed. Because I learn way back. When I'm reading, I just get lost. But when I hear it, it's better. So I'm listening to the Bible, and the goal is not to take in the whole entire Bible and like just try to go deep into passages everywhere. The goal is to look at overarching themes, what is actually happening, who is God. And it actually is a really fantastic thing to do. I'd encourage you to do it. I finally just made it to the New Testament not too long ago. And let me tell you, in the Old Testament, it's tiresome. You're just, after a while, you're just so tired of hearing like they disobeyed God and these people like were killed. And then a righteous leader came and followed God, but then everybody turned away again and complained, and then they died, and there was murder, and there was this, and God was unpleased. And then you're just like, come on. Oh. You're dying hearing this stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear the name Jesus. And he comes onto the scene, and there is hope, there is mercy, there is grace. Jesus is just, and you're like, oh, man, I was just tired even listening to all this. I know some of you who have done that are expressed the same thing. And that Jesus, man, Jesus, he is the one that has done all the saving. We have not done any of it on our own, nothing. We've had no part in it. And so when we look here at Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 and 8 and 9, this talks a little bit about how great our God. It says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. It's not he loved us like a certain amount that was just okay. He loved us so much, an extravagant love, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life, and he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God, and I love this. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. What a beautiful piece of scripture that's been given to us. And I love that phrase. Well, I don't love it, but I draw attention to this phrase, we were dead because of our sins. Now, being a turkey farmer, I grew up on a farm, raised turkeys, and every single day that there were turkeys in our care, we raised 10,000 at a time. We did 3 flocks throughout the year. Every single day, there would be a turkey that would die, if not lots of them. It's just life and the way it works. And so my job oftentimes was to go through the barns and collect the dead turkeys, throw them out the barn windows, and then afterwards you take the truck and pick them all up, and you bring them to, we had an incinerator because it helps to keep disease from spreading, burn them, and that's what you do. Sounds kind of gruesome, but let me tell you, this has a point. There was not one single time that I was, you know, picking up these turkeys, and they responded saying, I'm not dead yet. Like, not one. Not one time did I hear one single thing from these dead animals. They were lifeless. They were dead. There was nothing that they could do. It sounds kind of funny, but like, if you imagine that, that was our lives apart from Christ. We were dead in our sins. It wasn't like we were on a far off land. We weren't just disobedient. We were dead. And dead things can't do anything. You can't reach out and be like, save me. Like we were dead, but God was rich in his mercy. And I think it's so fantastic that God reached through the grave. The Bible says that we were stuck in the miry clay. I did landscaping for a number of years, and when it was wet out and you were in clay, it's a lot different than just a bit of mud. Wet clay is just like you are stuck in there. Trying to even clean clay off the machines that we'd be using was terrible. And we were stuck in the miry clay, the Bible says. But Christ, he reached out, and he reached out and lifted us from the miry clay and set us on a firm foundation. And that firm foundation isn't just a nice place. It's Christ. He set us on the life of Christ, the death and resurrection of what Christ accomplished, and we get to experience that, which is so cool. So, you know, I want to take the rest of the time and just talk about, well, what did Jesus save us from? And also, what did he save us for? Because they're both important. And as I mentioned before, sometimes we're looking through these North American lenses, and the question we typically ask is, well, what did Jesus save me from? What's in it for me? What does my life look like? Which it is important. We do need to know what our lives look like, but what did he save you from? Well, let me tell you what he saved you from. First of all, he saved us from sin. Now, when we look back in the Bible, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created man, created woman, there was perfect communion, which I think is, I think that's so amazing. There was nothing in the way between a relationship with God and humanity. They shared perfect communion, which is awesome. And so we broke that up, though. You know, when we chose to sin as humanity and we chose to choose our own way, we disobeyed God, and there was, it's as I read earlier in Romans, for we all have sinned. And so we all fall into that category. We're born into this life hanging by that rope on the last carabiner. That's how we're born. And so God has actually saved us from sin, which is just a mind-boggling thought that we don't have to live in sin anymore. If you have sin in your life, and this isn't about me pointing out sin, we all have sin and different things in our own lives, but if you have sin in your life and you're not experiencing freedom, I believe that Christ died for all sin so that we could actually live a free life. And so, you know, some of you might be sitting in a prison and Christ opened that door, but yet you're still sitting in that prison. So you're still, even the door's wide open, you still need to get out and get up by the power of Christ and walk out that door. And that's how we get to experience a life. When we say yes to Jesus, which I'm actually going to give a moment for everyone in this room to say yes to Jesus at the end of this message. When you say yes to Jesus and say, yes, I believe in you. I believe that you died and were raised again from my sin and all of our sin. When you actually confess that with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. And so that prison door pops open and you can walk out of that. So God saved us from sin, which I think that's awesome. He saved us from sin. The second thing is he saved us from a life without God. Now, some people might say, well, I already live a life without God. Well, no. God's presence is still here. A true life without any bit of God is actually hell. Without God, it is hell. Without his love, any of his love, any good thing that we experience in this earth is not just humans trying to be nice. It's like, it's God has a goodness. We are evil apart from, we are sinful, the Bible says, apart from him. So he saved us from a life without him and welcomed us into a life with him again. And then finally, what was my final thought here? Let's just look at the notes here. He saved us from ourselves. You know, we can get so wrapped up in this mind and our own lives. He's made a way for confusion to go away. He's made a way for just clarity to come to our minds and to our hearts and actually live a life beyond ourselves as well. So he saved us from ourselves because those North American lenses, they're all about self. Selfie world. It's all about self. And so in the last few minutes that I have here, what did he save us for? Because he saved us from some things, and like I said, that's highly important. But what has he saved you for? You might be a young person sitting in this room, and you think, well, God's got something for my parents, but not for me. That's not true. He saved you for something. You might be a person that has experienced a lot of years, and you say, well, that's just for my kids now. Like, I'm just going to go on cruise control, and that's not true. God saved you for something. Every single person in this room, God has saved you for something. And I think that's really exciting. The first thing he saved us for is intimacy with God. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of a weird point. He saved us for intimacy with himself. And even when we hear the word intimacy, our world has really messed that word up. We've brought all sorts of sexuality to that word. And, of course, there is, in healthy sexuality, there's healthy intimacy. But yet, you know, you might have a tainted view of what intimacy is. But God, when he first created man and woman, like I mentioned before, there was perfect intimacy, perfect communication. There was no shame. There was no guilt in relationships. None. It didn't exist. You know how, like, in relationships, even now, we can experience, like, oh, I feel kind of like afraid, fearful, shame, guilt in relationships? That didn't exist. It was a perfect communion, perfect intimacy. Intimacy was and is God's idea. And so he's redeemed intimacy, and you can have perfect intimacy with him. You know, even myself as a married person, I can share intimacy with my wife, and that's great. But beyond that, God has actually designed me first and foremost to have an intimate relationship with him. And I want to invite you, if you are feeling, and I know we have a feeling-based generation, but if we have, if we're living on our feelings and you have a feeling that you do not have intimacy in your life, don't go chase a person, a thing, or anything else. Chase after God. The Bible says, draw near to me. This is God speaking. This is his invitation to us. I think this is pretty cool. Draw near to me, God says, and I will. Not I might, or I sometimes will, or if I have enough time, I will. I will draw near to you, the Bible says. I think that's a phenomenal scripture that we can take that scripture and actually live our lives as on a word like that. If you have an intimacy challenge, just begin to draw near to God. Well, you can say, well, how do you do that? There's all sorts of different ways. We talked about connect groups, actually. Connect groups are a great way to actually come alongside other believers and be encouraged in your own relationship with God. And beyond that, when you actually take prayer, and it's not just like, prayer is not wishful thinking. Prayer is connecting faith and truth and actually declaring it out. Well, and so when you have your own faith and belief in your heart, and you say, and prayers can be very simple. You could have a prayer of, God, help me. And that's an authentic prayer. You can pray, God, help me, with faith. Like, God, I know you're going to come through. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I need you to come through in my life. That's an authentic prayer. So begin to pray and communicate with God. Prayer is actually, it's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's a two-way street. God is wanting to speak to you, and He's going to develop that intimacy with you as you draw near to him. You might be able to take some time to read God's incredible word. I was going to point to my Bible, which is not an iPad. So it wasn't there, but I don't have it with me. It's in my office. Anyways, God's word is powerful. It's not just a book of facts and figures. And it's alive. And I think it's so incredible that we can actually take God's word. You can take these scriptures that I was reading, that he was, you know, he's so rich in mercy. Well, if God's rich in mercy, what kind of God do you know? Do you know the thunderbolt God? God who's got the thunderbolts, he pulls them out and twirls around and goes, whoops. That's not the God I know. He's rich in mercy. That he loved us so much. He's an extravagant God, an extravagant king. So we've been saved for intimacy with God. The second thing is we've been saved, and these points, I think, they are kind of just different. We've been saved for a general purpose. It's like, oh, that's like, good one. I'm really going to remember that one. We've been saved for a general purpose. Let me explain. When God lifted you out of that miry clay and he set your feet, set your life on that firm foundation, which is Jesus, his general purpose for every single person that says yes to him is that we would actually be a reflection of him back into our world. So it's irrelevant where you work. It's irrelevant where you go to school. What your life looks like, I'm not saying it's unimportant, but it's irrelevant. God doesn't care where you are. He doesn't care if you choose that school or that school. He doesn't care if you choose this profession or that profession. I honestly don't think he cares. I think he cares a lot more about, are you going to actually reflect him? Are you going to be a representative of him in your environment, in your sphere of influence? And so you might, and that goes for any person that would be like, you know, like you're a young person and you're just like, you don't have a lot of choice in your life right now. Some of you are just like, well, I have to go to school. Well, if I don't, it's like, I'm either going to be kicked out of my house or whatever. It's like, so your job as a young person and when you're going to school is represent Christ well in those hallways, in those classrooms, in your text messages and Snapchats and probably other things that I don't even know about. Here's a question for all of us. Is the representation of what's happening on your phone reflecting God? Hello. Whoa, I just scared myself. That's a good question to ask. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for asking that question to me. The Bible says, Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. It doesn't say anyone else. It actually says you are. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds, it's not let your belief system, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So all of a sudden we see this marriage of, well, yeah, the Bible says if you believe or if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Cool. Yeah, but there's a part B. And that part B is found there in verse 16. In the same way, let your good deeds. So your belief has to translate into good deeds. But do we earn salvation by good deeds? No. It's like this ring around the rosy where it almost doesn't stop. It's like, well, I believe. Okay, well, then I have good deeds. But did that save you? No, because I believed. But I have good deeds. Did that save you? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're together. If you believe, then you have good deeds. It's just combined together. And so we have a general purpose, all of you, and myself included, to represent and reflect God to a lost and broken world. And number three, we have a specific purpose. Deep points, I know, but hopefully you can remember them. Now, here's a picture of my family. Lots of you would know my family. Some of you wouldn't, though. So that's, oh, that didn't quite work. Try again. Da-da-da-da. There they are. So my wife, Jennifer, and then Jaden, Kaya, and Haley, my son, Kobe. And let me tell you, those kids are different from each other. I thought there was going to be similarities, and there's a few. Like, they've got blonde hair. Personality and temperament are different. Jaden, the oldest right there on the left, she wants to do gymnastics so bad, but unfortunately, genetically, she is not flexible at all. So she tries hard. She was in gymnastics when she was little, but it's just not her thing. But let me say, Kaya, the next one beside her, she is... I don't know what happened or how she came out this way, but she is so flexible and so powerful. She's phenomenal at gymnastics, incredible. And so, you know, Jaden lots of times will just be moping like, oh, I just want to be like Kaya. But, you know, we have to help her recognize about, I think it was, she was probably in grade 3, I think it was. And she was a part of this Bible memorization. This is Jaden, the oldest. Bible memorization program. And they were having this big awards night for all the kids, which was really great. And so they were all going to dress up. And Jaden, like on her own accord, went into our laundry room where we've got lots of things stored in there. And she found some fabric, or I don't know if it was fabric or whatever it was, like an old curtain or something. And she went to her room and cut this thing up and she had like Velcro strips that she hand stitched on there herself and came out with this incredible dress. It wasn't like, oh, that's nice, sweetie. You know, those courtesy dad ones, you're like, that's so beautiful. No, it was actually, wow, I'm impressed. And she wore it to the banquet. And she's got this creative, she likes to just like create these worlds and like, she's just very gifted that way. And so, you know, but if Jaden spends her whole life trying to be a gymnast, she's just going to be a lousy one that's not going to go anywhere and probably laughed at the end of the day. Right? I'm not trying to be mean. It's just factual. And I think so often for our own lives, we look at our lives and we just say, oh, like, I just wish I could be like this person. I know for myself, growing up, I had a really good friend, still have him. They attend the service in Edmonton. And any time in the summertime, he would go outside in like 7 minutes in the sun. He's like just this golden bronze god. His skin would just soak up all the sun. And I'm just like... I just turn into a lobster. But if I spent my whole life just... I mean, that sounds like a ridiculous statement. You know, like, you know, obviously I'm kind of over that, but sort of. God, if you could do a little changing around there, I'll take it. It's just more annoying than anything, to be honest. You get burnt. It's just so annoying. Okay. See, you can tell that I'm a little hurt with this. I'm trying to be somebody else, but God has made you, God has made me to be specifically gifted with the temperament that we have, the gifts that we have. And some of you have to hear today, just have to hear, stay in the lane that you're in. Or get out of the lane that you've been trying to be in where you don't fit and get into the lane that you know God's called you to. And so, you know, we're going to take a few moments to pray. I love music and I get highly distracted by it too. Oh, I get highly distracted virtually by everything. So... I think I've been doing pretty good, though. Wouldn't you guys agree? Like, for those of you that don't, for those of you that really know me, man, you'd be guaranteed like 5 really good rabbit trails a message. I think I've done pretty well comparatively. Yeah, and this is the last service. Let's take her another hour here. Let's get the band back up here. Probably, yeah. Anyways. You know what? Music creates a great atmosphere. And you know what else creates a great atmosphere? Your faith. So I want to invite you to stand right now, and we're going to take a few moments just to, even in a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer that's going to invite every single person to actually call out to Jesus and say, save me. It's a prayer that's just, it's not that help me, Jesus prayer. It's save me. I need saving. And so let's just even pray right now. God, I thank you for your goodness. And God, I thank you that you are just working in our hearts right now. God, that you've been stirring us. You've been changing our mindsets, God. You've been confronting different things, belief systems that are in us, Lord. And we're just believing that, you know, you are a good God, as the Bible says. You are so full of love. You are rich in mercy and grace. And God, right now, we just receive that mercy and grace. God, we receive even just the fact that we are accepted by you. God, that you have said that because of Jesus, we can be more than enough. And as we continue to pray, I just want to invite you guys to just keep your eyes closed. It just helps you focus and helps us focus. And I want to lead us all in a prayer. This is a prayer of just, it's a prayer that's saying, save me, Jesus. It's a calling out saying, God, I've tried to do it my own way. And I recognize that sin has separated me from you, God. My own way, my selfishness has separated me from you. And right now, Jesus is going to actually reestablish, because of what Jesus has done, I should say, God is going to reestablish that connection, that true intimacy. And I'm believing that right now, people are going to actually begin to feel God's overwhelming love, that he is for you, that he is not against you, that he is with you, that he is in your corner, and that he has the best for your life, not just so you can have a good life, but you can actually be a reflection of him in this world. And so we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you've said yes to Jesus, maybe a long time ago, but you've wandered away, or maybe you said yes to Jesus, the helper, but it wasn't yes to Jesus, the savior. Today you can pray that prayer, or maybe you've just, this is the first time you've been heard anything like this, and you can call out to him as well. We're going to pray with one voice all together, a prayer saying, save me, I need you, Jesus, I want to follow you. So let's pray together. Let's say, Jesus, I say yes to you. I say yes to your love, your grace, your mercy, your hope. I say yes to the forgiveness of all sin, and I welcome your love. Would you save me? Save me from myself, from sin. Would you set me and set my life on a firm foundation, which is Jesus? I want to follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. And we said together, amen. Awesome, church. It's so good to celebrate, so good to... Just now, you know, people have said yes to Jesus for the first time, and we are so excited that you did.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. And we look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.